tonight, and I appreciate very much the opportunity to be on this program. It's always a pleasure and a joy to be able to share God's Word with other people, and we're thankful and grateful for the opportunity to be here. It's a pleasure to work with Joe. He's been with us with Give Me the Bible and with all of Neil and all of these men that are part of the program and all of the churches that are so faithful to support it. We appreciate all of you. We appreciate all of them. I wondered why I was picked for this subject, you know. Here it is. It's going to be refreshing. And so you want to refresh, you know, to refresh the elderly. Well, everybody needs refreshing, that we all need to be refreshing. And I'm not here tonight to make you a speech. I'm here to bring you some comfort and some encouragement from the Word of God. We want it to be something that will be a benefit to you, that will help you, to encourage you, because there are many difficulties that we have. We might ask the question, first of all, what do we mean by refreshing? Refreshing. You know, in the physical realm, we might think about what's refreshing. You know, some of the hot days we've had this summer. Maybe a cool shower. That might be refreshing. Or maybe a tall glass of water. That might be refreshing. And so we can, sometimes if we look at a word, that we can get a better understanding of it if we turn it over and look at the opposite and find out what it isn't. And of course, we know that when we think about the opposite of refreshing, we come up with tired. You know, that wore out, hot, exhausted, maybe hungry, and on it goes. So we might be refreshed then when we're rested, when we're cooled, when we're renewed, we're filled, we're given some hope. So my subject tonight is concerning the refreshing of the elderly. And of course, as we've already suggested, everybody needs to be refreshed. The young and the old and the in-between and whatever. And as we talk about being refreshed, I'm not just going to give you a pep talk. You know, sometimes you can, somebody, you know, just fire you up. One of my favorite stories is about a boxer, and he was taking a shellacking. But his manager was running over there, and he had sponged him down, and he would say, "You're doing great. He hadn't laid a glove on you." Well, the fellow looked up through those swollen eyes, and he said, "You sure better check that referee, because somebody's killing me." Sometimes, you know, we need more than a pep talk. We need some assurance. We need something that has some substance to it. And of course, that's true concerning growing older. You know that we're all growing older. You know, whether we want to admit it or not, whether we want to face the facts, it's going to happen that we're all growing older. The scriptures tell us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. It's going to happen. You know, that's exactly what the Lord teaches. You know, it's not a pleasant word. We don't like to think about the situation. We think about dying, think about death. You know, I think we can understand why it isn't a pleasant word and why we try to, well, we use words to cover it up, or to pass it by, or make it sound better. You know, we call them euphemisms. But, you know, whenever you have one, you know, to use a word that's different. For example, instead of saying that one died, we might say they expired. Well, that sounds better, you know, that maybe they have deceased. You know, they're not here anymore. Or maybe just pass away. You know, that sometimes that we try to use words to cover up even just old. We don't like to be old, the old folks. That's offensive to some people. You know, you have the nerve to call me old. You know, I'm kind of thick-skinned on that point. I've been called old, even an old goat, you know. But you know that sometimes it's offensive, and we even have some euphemisms for that. You know that we're talking about seniors. You know, we're senior citizens. We're not old folks. We're senior citizens. You know that. And we also notice that we are mature. You know that we're not old, but we are mature folks. Or maybe we get real fancy. You know, some of the church folks talk about the golden agers. How about that? You know, the golden agers. Or maybe the fun timers. Well, you know, these are not all bad. You know, there can be some truth to that. And there should be some reasons concerning this. But there are many things that are undesirable about growing old. We need to just face the facts that there's some things about it that's not good. You know, we're going to talk about some things that are good, but there's some things that are not good. You know that, you see these little kids running around? Somebody says, boy, I wish I had that energy. Oh, no, you don't. You tear up something. We couldn't handle that kind of energy. So it's good that we have the opportunity, you know, to slow down a little bit, you know, and whatever. You know, as we grow older, we have more pain. You know, it's just a fact that there's good joints and muscles and parts that you didn't even know you have, you know, that and you have can hurt that can go along with all of these things. But we can see that there are some things about growing old that are not good, that we're not so pleased with. But we need to face the facts. We have one option, grow old, or one other option, or die young. So you can just take your pick. We really can't. But it's going to be one or the other that comes from that. We need to notice that there are some refreshing news and things about growing old, and we want to talk about these this evening. Paul refreshed the Corinthians, by assuring them that they would be raised from the dead when Christ returns. You know that that's not the end. You know, when you die, it's not the end. It's just the beginning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 and following. He said, therefore I have spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, Paul says that we may be growing old on the outside, but we're growing younger on the inside. You know, that's the thing. That's like a little boy, you know, that they told him to go stand, you know, in the corner because he had misbehaved. And he said, well, I may be standing in the corner, but said, I'm sitting on the inside. You know, Paul says that our inward man can be refreshed, that we grow stronger day by day. We grow more spiritual if we're doing what the Lord would have us to do, and we have greater help. 17th verse of that said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said it's just a little trouble growing old. The good thing is that we can have great things spiritually. Inward we grow stronger day by day. We live in a wonderful age. Even from the physical standpoint, we live in an age. You know, today that we can still have the opportunity to have our teeth fixed. You know, that we have dentists and whatever. You know, old George Washington, I understand, had some wooden teeth and they were bad fitting. You know, they didn't have the good work that we have today. You know, there's a lot of things. We can have our teeth fixed or replaced, repaired. There's a lot of things that we can have done. Even though they may not be as good, they won't be as good as what was original with you, but it's still something that we can enjoy and appreciate and use in that way. Same thing's true with the doctor. You know, that You know, it used to be, it still happens, about 40, you can see people that their arms grow shorter. You know, they can't get it down to where it ought to be. But anyway, we can see that we now have the ability that we have eye implants. How many has an eye implant? See, he's got a hand. Surely more than that, you know. Had a lens implant. Everybody I know nearly has one of those. You know, I've even got one, yes. But you know that, just think the technology in that old cataract that used to leave you blind now can be removed, and they can put a lens in it, and you can, many times they've set it up just right, you can see without glasses and all the good things. And that's a good time for us to be able to live. You know, we've got medicine. You know, it's amazing what people can do today. You know, the surgeries they can do. And again, some more implants, you know, pacemaker put in and do things and medication and all these kinds of things. You know, it's a wonderful age in which to live. We can be refreshed as we think about these. We can get around, keeping on. You know, when all the old joints go bad, you replace them. You know, that, or you can get a stick and walk with, or even a motorized vehicle and drive it. There's all kind of things that you can do concerning this. But we can grow stronger every day because of our spiritual health. You know, these other things are incidental. We ought to be ready to accept, you know, what the situations are and use the best that we have opportunity. The Lord gives us the blessings to use, and He intends for us to use them and be grateful and thankful for them. So we can see that having hope is not just an empty wish. Sometimes we use the word hope that way. You know, said, well, I hope so. Well, we may like a question mark, maybe, whatever. But that's not the way the scriptures use it. When it talks about hope, that it is talking about confidence, that there's something that you wanted badly and you expect to get it. Now, that's the case. That's what the hope is concerning a Christian. You know, Peter says that we should be ready to give an answer, a reason for our hope. You know, what is it that we expect? You know, as Christians, we ought to be ready to expect the best and then to be able to tell others why it is that we expect it. You know, it's not just because I have a feeling here somewhere, but it's because of what the Lord has said. That's where that we have the reason to have hope. Jesus is our hope. You know, without Him, we have nothing. With Him, we can have everything, spiritually speaking. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, He said, God commendeth us, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died, we live. That's the picture. That's the hope that we have. That's the expectation. You know, if we're expecting for the Lord to come again, we're expecting to be with the Lord, then we have reason to rejoice. We have reason to be refreshed. We ought to be excited even. And when we think about this, and that's the position we have as Christians. You know, it ought not to be that we have a long face, you know, saying worry and complain about it, but it's just getting better all the time. We notice that Jesus' blood cleanses us from our souls, our sins, cleanses our souls from our sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, when He says here that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. You know, the verb there shows that it's something that goes on. Jesus' blood made it possible for us to be forgiven in the past when we obeyed the gospel. His blood makes it possible for us to be forgiven in the present when we do what He told us to do, and it'll forgive us in the future when we do what He told us to do. So we can see that we have hope. We have a great deal of hope. That ought to be refreshing. I'm telling you, the fact that we can have our sins forgiven, we make our mistakes, and we will. He said, the man that says he has no sins deceived himself. But we will make our mistakes. But the Lord has made it possible for us to have forgiveness. That is refreshing. That's refreshing to old folks. That's refreshing to young folks. Everybody, every Christian, every faithful Christian, this is the case. Well, notice that we have hope because Jesus has gone to fix us a place. You know, if you arrive before the place is ready, sometimes you're inconvenienced, but we won't have to worry about that. When we get there, the place will be there. Jesus said in John chapter 14, the first few verses, you know, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go, prepare a place. If I go and prepare a place, I'll come again. I'll receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be." That's refreshing when we think about the Lord has gone to prepare a place. He's going to come back, and he's going to get all of the faithful. He's going to take them back with him, and there they can always stay with him, won't be separated anymore. What a great and wonderful thing. It's a place where we never grow old. You know, this old age is just in this life. That's the reason we shouldn't worry too much about death. That's the way we get rid of old age. That's the cure. We can see that. There's a place that never grows old. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 is a beautiful passage. It says, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." They're gone. What a beautiful thought. He said there's a place where there won't be any death. There won't be any growing old. There won't be any sorrow. You know, not even cloudy days. You know, not even just being a little lonesome. There won't be any of these things. It's going to be, everything's going to be top notch, first class. We can be there. That's the hope that we have. Peter said, be ready to tell others about it. You know, that's like the, and brother, there it is. I forgot what his name was. Kicks in every once in a while, doesn't it? Sometimes it just stays with you. But anyway, that brother C.R. Nichols, now he came back. One day he was walking down the street, and they said that brother Nichols walked his head up and back, and he was walking. And the brother met him, and he said, "Brother Nichols," said, "you look like you own the world." They said he didn't even break stride, and he said, "My father does." We can have that, you know. Our Father has it. I mean, we can go to that place, and we can be with him. We can be refreshed. But just how are we refreshed? When we think about this, that we're refreshed because of the resurrection. You know, that's a sad time. You know, gathered around the tent and the hole in the ground and whatever. But we know that it's temporary. And so we can be refreshed in the fact that there is a resurrection. This old body is just the seed. You know, he says you plant the seed and the seed will perish, but there's a new plant that comes forth. So we're just planting the seed. And so this old body is just the seed. And when we're through with it, then we're through with it. And then we're going to have the new version. And it's going to be one that has no flaws. You know, I said there's not going to be any ugly people in heaven. You know, there's not going to be any unhappy people in heaven. It's going to be a beautiful and a wonderful place. Well, that ought to make us happy and be refreshed and think about it. You know, Jesus reminds us of the value of that soul. When he made man, you know, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. But it tells us something else about it, is that when man was created, God put him, his own part of him in, he made him in his own image, in his own likeness, and that's given him an immortal soul. That's exactly what he had concerning that. And now then he tells us in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, where he raises the question, what has a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You know that you can turn that around. You know that if you've gained the whole world and you lose your soul, you have nothing. You've been a failure. You know, sometimes we're prone to look at success or failure in the finances, you know, how well, you know, they've done. But that's really not the test. Really what it amounts to is your soul. And to know that soul is more valuable. and every soul. It's not just a few select. Every soul, any soul, is worth more than the whole world. And this is something that you can have the assurance of. That ought to be refreshing. You know, everybody can't be a millionaire. You know, everybody can't have a PhD. There's a lot of things that you can't have. But this is something everybody can have. They can have salvation of their soul and live forever in a place where there's no pain and no sorrow, no death. Now, brethren, if that doesn't refresh you and make you excited about what we have, then I don't know what I can do to help you. Certainly that's the case. We notice that we're going to have our body raised in a new form. When we read in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul goes in detail when he talks about what's happening there concerning the resurrection of the body. We also notice that we are refreshed by knowing that we have the privilege of prayer, the opportunity to communicate, to talk with God. You know, to just think about it, you know that how many of you think you have an opportunity to talk to the president? You know, I don't expect to talk to the president. I'm not sure I want to, but I don't know that I could. But there's one thing that we can do, you know, that we can all talk to the God of heaven, that he's willing to listen to and answer a prayer concerning each and every one. You know, that's encouraging. If you need help, call me. Isn't that what we have the promise of? If you need help, call me. We notice that Paul says that we ought to rejoice in our hope, and to paraphrase in Romans 12 and 12, just keep on praying. You know, you have that hope, but you pray. You keep asking the Lord. You know, you might need to understand what sometimes when you ask God something, well, first of all, we need to be assured he's going to answer. You will get an answer. Now then, he might answer no. I mean, it's possible that God can tell you no. There's examples where he did. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, we find the Apostle Paul and how that he had an affliction, thorn in the flesh, and he prayed to the Lord three times that this might be removed, and the Lord finally told him that you're going to have it. I'm not going to take that away. And that I gave it to you for a purpose, and you're going to keep it, but you'll have sufficient strength, you'll have sufficient help. And that it was given to for a purpose. You see, he had had an experience that no one else had, that he was caught up into the third heaven, and he wasn't really sure about it himself, you know, in the body, out of the body, you know, not really clear just what it was, but he knew he was there. And he says concerning that he was saw some things, heard some things, that he said, you don't talk about it. You don't write about it. You know, and said, since you're the only man that's done this, you might be a little heady. You look what I've done. And he said, now I'm going to give you a thorn in the flesh so that you won't ever forget. And so that's what he gave him. So sometimes he gives no. There may be a reason. It may not be because he's going to have, we have a thorn in the flesh. But we may have to need a no. It may not be for our good. You know, sometimes what you want is not really what you want. You know, I have a story from my childhood. I had a cousin. A little guy was always underfoot. You know, and they were living in the oil field, and they had an old Fordson tractor with the winch on the front, and the men were out servicing the tractor, and he was underfoot. And so they didn't know how to get rid of him. And so he said, you need to go to the house, that you're too little to be here. No, I'm not, you know. And he said, well, you're not even big enough to reach that white thing. That was a spark plug. And that old tractor sitting there running. And well, you know, he didn't want what he wanted. Sometimes we ask for something, you know, and we're not sure that we really want it. And when we get it, it's not what we expected. It's not what we want. We notice also that he may say yes. Many times the Lord will say yes. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 20 about Hezekiah, the king of Israel. And we notice that he was a very sick man, and Isaiah came to him and told him that he needed to get his house in order, that he was going to die. But we find that he turned to the wall, he prayed fervently, he wept, and then Isaiah was told to go back and tell him that he's going to live, to give him 15 more years. What a great blessing. Sometimes he'll answer our prayers, yes. And then sometimes he might say, wait a while. You know, it's not going to be yes or no, but not right now. You know, in Romans chapter 15, we read about Paul as he was a prisoner and as he was taken to Rome. You know, he had prayed and asked the others to pray for him that he might be released so he could go to Rome. Well, that he went to Rome, but it wasn't immediately, and it wasn't exactly what he had in mind, probably whenever he did just exactly that. We notice that we are refreshed also because of our faith. You know that we have hope. You know, there are those that sorrow that have no hope. You know, in Thessalonians, when he's talking about you comfort the brethren with these things, and he said there are those that have no hope, that these Christians didn't suffer as those that had no hope. So we can see we need to have hope. We have the hope because we read in the Scripture. We have the faith because we read in the Scripture. God said so. Why do you believe what you believe? It's because God said that this is the case. And so in this way, we can see how important it is to us to have faith. We believe there is a God, and justly so. We have a God that is a God that's loving, he's kind, he's merciful, he's powerful, and all of these things. We have reason to rejoice because of that. We can be refreshed concerning that. We notice that we believe Jesus and the promise that he had made. He's coming back. We'll see him when he comes. The Lord is coming back. And he's going to, when he comes back, he's going to receive all that have been buried and all who are still living. They'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. So we can see that we have our reasons to be refreshed. The inward man is being renewed day by day. The outward man is growing weaker. We're growing older, whatever. But you know, it's thrilling to be a Christian. Whatever age, it's thrilling. We know that life is short. Even at the best, it's short compared to eternity, that you couldn't graph that or picture it. But we find that, you know, death is something that's going to come. And it's even as Christians, it can be something that we might describe as exciting. Give that a little thought. You think about death as being exciting. The story of Lazarus. Poor old Lazarus, you know, that he had some sign of disease. He couldn't walk. He had to be laid wherever they took him. That he was hungry. He was begging for something to eat, just crumbs from the table, whatever. The only medication he had were the dogs that licked his sores and whatever. And here the most, probably the most miserable creature you could picture. And then what happens? He died. But what happened when he died? The angels came and took him to a place of comfort. Well, now that's a story that has a happy ending. That's exciting. And you know that can be true concerning every Christian. You know, we don't have to worry about old age. You know that there's an exciting end for a faithful Christian. If we just do what the Lord would have us to do, remain faithful unto death, then we can find that if we can have an exciting end. You know that back in 2 Kings chapter 2, we have the story about Elijah. Now you talk about an exciting end, there's one with Elijah. You know that he's walking along there and suddenly he's caught up. He's in a fiery chariot with fiery horses. And here he goes up in a whirlwind and he's on his way. You know, the one of the two men that never died a physical death. but of the great one. You know, and Elisha's standing on the ground and he got to see this one, you know. Wow. They said, if you get to see him, then you get to fulfillment of your unusual request, and that is that he'd have a double portion of his authority or power. It's exciting that we know there's some sad things about growing old, as we mentioned, but it's refreshing to know that we can work through it, we can work with it, and we have a hope that is much better. And it may be that there's someone here tonight that's not a Christian, or it may be that there's one that's not a faithful Christian. If you don't have that hope, that you can become a Christian, Jesus died for you, shed his blood, making it possible. If you believe that he is the Christ, that if you're willing to change your life and live as he would have you to live, repent of your sins, confess and acknowledge your faith in the Lord, then be buried with him in water baptism, you can have your sins washed away. And then you can have that hope. You can be refreshed. Then if you're not a faithful Christian, if you'll just repent and pray, the Lord will forgive you. There's no reason for us not to have a refreshing evening. If we be young or if we be old, if you have a need, we'd encourage you to come. Well, together we stand while we sing.
Sending you away, but just like you promised, you came here to stay.